Welcome to Two Girls Who Read, a podcast. I'm Olivia.
And I'm Lily, and this is a podcast where we talk about anything and everything book related.
This week's topic is Heartstopper by Alice Oseman.
Yeah, so obviously a lot of hype been going around Heartstopper, so we're going to talk about the show and the books probably just throughout this. So like spoilers definitely for all four volumes of Heartstopper, I guess, and the show.
Yeah, we're not like, we haven't read any of the volume five. I know that Alice Oseman has been releasing like volume five on her Patreon, but we haven't been reading that. So it's just all of the volumes that have been fully published. So the four and the show.
And also before we start, I want to say, sorry we didn't upload a podcast episode last week. I was moving out of my dorm. So,
yeah, fuck
just a little
you.
Apology. We normally upload every week. We didn't upload last week.
I find it so funny that, like, okay, so we're not going to get into details. Because something that I love about a podcast is I feel like our listeners respect our boundaries. They don't know, like, obviously we vibe, but obviously we know each other a lot better than the listeners know us. And sure. We have recorded through some crazy times in our lives.
Yeah,
like,
you could
and
say
I
that.
Found it hilarious that last week, like, you moving out was a thing that was like, oh no,
well, there
we
was
can't record
so
this week.
Much. Like, you were working, I was moving out, I had like a bunch of final exams last week. I had like three of my finals last week, finished up my university, and so it
no,
was just
was
it was
crazy.
A lot.
It wasn't was a lot. Even, it wasn't like it wasn't manageable, but I just remember getting to the end of the week and we just were on the phone and it was like, oh, it's a bit late for
didn't
the podcast
record an episode.
Episode, isn't it? Yeah, didn't do that. We just didn't get around to that. But now we're back and we're here to talk about The Gaze, which I think is quite an iconic return. And I think, honestly, yeah, people were too busy watching the Heartstopper show last week to listen to us
yeah,
on about
so true.
Something, like whatever we would have come up with.
Did
yeah.
you finish the last two volumes?
I did. Did you not see my Goodreads reviews?
I was not on Goodreads Lily. Today. No.
Lily. Okay. So we all know what time it is. Then it's time to get the Goodreads reviews up because I'm quite proud of them. I read both these. Okay, so a little bit of a recap. I read volumes 1 and 2 way before Lily like read Heartstopper. But in traditional Olivia fashion, I had the first three volumes. Volume 4 hadn't even come out yet when I finished volume 1 and 2. And then I was like, I'm just going to wait for volume 4 to come out and then I'll read volume 3 and 4. Because apparently like volume 3, it finished on a bit of like a cliffhanger or whatever. I don't know what I was hearing down the grapevine, but I just decided it would be best to wait for volume 4. And when volume 4 comes out, I just never buy it. Like, I just don't. And then I'm like, have volume 3. I move out. Like, literally, it's time for me to move out of my home, like my teen bedroom. And I'm trying to decide what books I want to take with me. And I liked volume 1 and 2, but I didn't love volume 1 and 2. Like, I wasn't, oh my god, I get it. I think part of it was also I was living in a homophobic household at the time, so I wasn't really allowed to love it. Yeah,
let's get into that.
We're not gonna get into that. I love how I'm straight after. I'm like, yeah, the listeners don't know us very well. Yeah, so I grew up in a homophobic household. No. But yeah, then the show came out. I honestly forgot about Heartstopper. Then the show got announced. I was following the show's Instagram, keeping up to date with it, all while I just like hadn't read the third and fourth one, even though everyone was saying it was great and better than the first two. And then I just decided I'm gonna wait for the show to come out. And then the show came out, and I'm going to be real, I was kind of half lying to myself when I was like, I'm going to wait for the show. I didn't think the show would be as good as it was. I'm going to admit it. And then I watched the show, and I was like, I get it now. Like, and I just, yeah, I read the volume 3 and 4 last night. Anyway, I'm trying to get my good dude. Here we go. Volume 3, I'm going to be real, Volume 3 and 4, they kind of just merged together. So Volume 3, I didn't really have much of a review. It was just serotonin with a tinge of depression to make it realistic. Also gay. Very, very gay. 5 stars. Then we have Volume 4. Volume 4 is quite a little bit of what we're used to seeing from me. Okay. Reading this at 11 at night on a school night on my iPad was not good for my mental health. This volume was easily my favourite. If you told me where this story ended up in Volume 4 while reading Volume 1, I would have laughed. This is nothing more than a cheesy gay romance. Dot, dot, dot. Right? Dot, dot, dot. Right? Nope, Past Olivia. This story is pain. Alice Oseman is evil. Dot, dot, dot. Iconic, but evil. Dot, dot, dot. She hooks you in with those seemingly harmless leaves and cheesy queer romances, then slaps you in the face while laughing manically behind her screen as she completely blindsides you with pain. Pain against the gays. If she wasn't such an icon, I would call her homophobic, but I can't even do that because, well, dot, dot, dot. I am so glad that she did this. The storylines in this volume, while mentally damaging, were so beautiful to read about. So often, I feel the publishing industry believes good LGBTQ plus representation is about simply showing that people of the same sex can be a couple. Rarely does it go into the trials and tribulations of being one in this homophobic world. And while I love the idea where even the cowboys from Texas don't have a problem with the gays and lesbians, I don't feel that is enough to justify as good representation. As accurate representation is the act of making people feel seen, both in their triumphs and tribulations. Heartstopper took LGBTQ plus representation to a level I've never seen before. It dives into the consequences of being brave enough to be proud in this day and age, while also never discouraging the idea of coming out. Instead, Alice empowered her readers with the strength of Charlie and Nick's relationship. I mean, every sad thing that happens to the characters in this book literally roots back to one thing, homophobia. Instead of feeling like a pity party for the LGBT, though rightfully earned, I mean, yeah, this volume was more of a critique to homophobia, and I simply love that. And to think that all this amazing representation was coming from the format of a graphic novel, seriously impressive. Thank you, Alice, you are the moment. So I gave it 1 star. No, I gave it 5 stars.
No, I remember when I read these books, so, like, yeah, like, I had always known that they were, like, very good, and I knew that I would love them. It's just I don't read a ton of graphic novels, and I knew I wanted to at some point, but, like, I don't know, like, I just never got around to it, you know? But then, like, everyone was talking about it for all of April because of the show coming out, and so I was like, oh, well, you know, now seems like as good a time as any, like, before the show comes out. So basically I sat down and read all 4 volumes plus the Nick and Charlie little novella, like, thing, like, 2 years later. Like, pretty much all in one day. I think I did read them all in one day. I don't know. But they were all so cute. I loved them. And I was really glad that I read them when I did, because then I got to watch them before the show came out, which was great. But yeah. That was my little, it was a little less short than Olivia's story, but that was my Heartstopper reading journey.
Lily's reading journeys are what reading journeys should be. It's like, I started it, I finished it, the end. I'm like, so I started it, then I finished it, then I went through a midlife crisis at the age of 18.
Then I had a homophobic household.
Yeah, and then I realized I was living in a homophobic household. Then I just decided I'd wait for the show to come out. Yeah, but Lily's just like, yeah. I started, I finished, we came, we conquered, we left. I have a question for you.
Okay.
Which is rare. Usually you have questions for me.
Big okay, moment, everyone. I'm excited.
So the Nick and Charlie novella, chronologically, yep. Like, is it appropriate to read that after volume 4?
Okay, since so technically, yeah, like, technically that novella actually came out, like, before any of the Heartstopper comics, actually, which I think is so funny. Yeah, it came out years ago, which is just such a random order, I feel like, but, you know.
Was it because, and so, like, her first book was about Charlie's, sister?
Yeah, I believe so. Mm. And so we just got this random book in that kind of random order, but, I mean, it really doesn't make much of a difference. I mean, yeah, you can wait till after volume 5 since that is going to be the last Heartstopper book. But, you know, you don't have to. Like, I didn't, and it was fine, because you kind of know that, like, if you've read the first Heartstopper book, that they, like, are together in the future, because within the comics, there's a mini, like, oh, Nick and Charlie, 10 years down the road sort of thing, like, embedded in the comics. And so it's, like, you kind of already know that. And then, so, it's not, and also, because it's, like, a little romance book, you're not really expecting them to be broken up, and nothing super serious happens in it, and so I don't really see it as an issue to read it after volume four.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, because when you told me that, like, you read that, I didn't know if Alice, like, published that for you to read after volume four, and if so, I was kind of confused, because I was like, wait, so does that mean you read the volumes, then the novella, and then, like, volume five's just going to go back to, like, almost being a prequel? But no, it was all published before the volumes. I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your favorite Heartstopper volume so far?
I don't know. I think four, probably, same as you. Maybe I'll get my review for four up.
Yeah.
Let me whip out the reading journal. For those of you who listened to was it our last episode? I don't know.
I don't know.
Whatever one I talked about.
Our last episode journal. 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Okay, this is what I said. I'm so sad that this is the last one that is currently out. I am still in love with Nick and Charlie and how they are finding themselves within each other. I loved how developed the romance has become and how the characters are much more rounded out. I loved how it was a good balance between cute and fluffy romance and also serious topics, such as Charlie's eating disorder, being handled really well. I love how we saw it from both points of view, from Nick and Charlie, and I loved how they had very supportive families and were defensive of each other if need be. I need the next book out now. Yeah. So, I think needless to say, I really liked it, and I really liked how this book fleshed out a lot more topics than the other ones. I mean, the other ones, not that there's anything wrong, I read all of them 5 stars, so obviously it's, like, very hard to pick a favorite when every book is a 5 stars, but I think that was just my favorite one, personally.
No, but I feel you. Okay, because literally, when I was reading volume 4, obviously I loved the other three, also rated them all 5 stars. But mm-hmm. when I was reading volume 4 last night, like, there was a point when it cut to Nick, like, writing in his diary about the events of what happened, and then that's when you mm-hmm. find out that, like, Charlie went to rehab, essentially. Like, is that the appropriate
yeah.
term?
Well, yeah. Not really. Like, he went to, like, a psychiatric hospital.
Yeah. Admitted, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. Psychiatric hospital. And anyway, I was reading that, like, last night. And when it got to the part where it was where Nick's writing that Charlie... I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was just, yeah. It was Nick basically saying something like, yeah, Charlie thought it would be best if he went away for a while to the hospital. And I, like, physically gasped. I was like, whoa, I did not expect this from...
Yeah, same.
If I'm being honest, like, just because this is all about getting our raw reactions and opinions, I was not expecting that from, like, a cheesy, gay graphic novel. And I didn't even realize that I had held this series to kind of a standard, but I really loved how, like, volume 4... I felt like the first three volumes were really, like, setting a standard, and then volume 4 just kind of came and broke its own standard, and it, like, exceeded its own expectations, which I love.
Oh, definitely. I also really liked how the characters were all quite comfortable with their sexuality and identity and stuff. Like, obviously in the first, like, 2 books or whatever, it's quite essential, because that's, like, a whole part of the storyline, and I loved reading about it the first time, but... It's just so nice to, like, read about them, like, not having to hide anymore and stuff, because obviously, like, that upset the characters themselves. So it's nice to, like, read about them being able to, like, kind of be out to everyone that they care about and, like, not really feeling like they need to, like, hide who they are. It's definitely, like, very refreshing and nice for to sure. read.
That was another thing I loved, because I was reading volume 4 as well, and I think another reason why I loved it so much was, as I was reading it, I was realizing... This is one of the first books where I've really seen a gay, like, fictional couple be a gay fictional couple, because I feel like often with LGBTQ plus books, the story is always about like getting over my internalized homophobia, and then it ends with them like running off into the sunset, which I guess I don't have a problem with. But it was just really strange for me to realize while reading volume 4 that, oh my gosh, I think this is the longest I've read about one, like, gay fictional relationship without
100%. Them.
Yeah, and I just thought that was so interesting to realize. And then something else was when I finished the book and I go back and, oh, I finished all the volumes and I went back and, like, thought on it, Alice Oseman also put in so much effort into the representation of that the side characters brought to the story. I mean, you have Elle and Tal, and then you have Darcy and Tara, and even the teachers, like the teachers
have, I know, the teachers like side gay love story that was just like, I don't know what this is for, but like I love it. Like
exactly, like Alice was constantly almost raising the bar. And it was super interesting to read. And then even the whole storyline about Nick's brother being pretty homophobic, I guess. And that was something as well where I was just like, look, Alice, you do not have to keep raising the bar this high. But, like, I'm so glad you are. Just this is why you're so beloved, I guess.
Oh, for sure. No, she definitely did so many fantastic things throughout that series. And, like, there's so many things that, like, even when authors write LGBTQ books, it's one of those things where it's like, yes, they're writing this great LGBTQ book, but, you know, it's like the main couple's LGBTQ, and then, like, the other side characters, there's, like, usually not a lot of representation there. I mean, sometimes there is, but, you know. But in this book, it was, like, there was just so many different kinds of representation, which was nice. It wasn't all the same representation, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, so there's something in there that, like, everyone could kind of relate to. I mean, not everyone, obviously, but, like, a lot of people. Not just one.
But in terms of diversity, it was just, I totally get what you're saying, where when it comes to LGBTQ plus books, I often feel the authors feel like they can only take one of those letters and put it into their book. But Alice is like, no, I'm going to take the whole freaking alphabet. Just put it in there.
Every single one.
And also, like, it's done so well. And
exactly.
I don't know Alice's sexuality or anything, but at this point, she could be anything, and I'm like, accurate. Because I'm also reading Loveless right now, which is about an asexual, which try and find another YA novel about where the main protagonist is asexual. I dare you. And so, oh,
100%.
Yeah. And anyway, I'm reading Loveless right now, and even the way that she is describing the main protagonist's asexuality and coming to terms with it is so amazing. It's just very in depth and in detail, and it just blows my mind, because I read Loveless and then I read Heartstopper and I'm going, but she's also so, but like also this gay representation, a lesbian representation, a bisexual representation is so great too. And so it's just that realization that maybe we don't need to just take one letter, maybe authors don't just need to be good at representing one type of community, that maybe there's room for more and it can be done. It's just, I really admire how Alice pretty much just shows it can be done. You can have more than one of the letters from the LGBTQ plus community in your works.
For sure.
It doesn't destroy the whole novel. It doesn't make it too crazy.
Yeah, she's definitely done an incredible job, that's for sure.
For sure. And, I mean, when I read the first two novels, I definitely understood that Alice Oseman, something else about Alice Oseman, she kind of gives me Cassandra Clare vibes in the sense that their followings are very cult followings. And
yeah.
Something that both those authors do really well, I was trying to figure it out because I was like, People seriously love Alice Oseman, and this was after I finished volume 1 and 2, and I wasn't quite getting the hype because, you know, homophobic household, but I was just kind of trying to figure it out. I was like, people love Alice Oseman, and now looking back on it, I'm like enthralled into the Alice Oseman world. I mean, I'm finished all the Heartstopper volumes, reading Loveless, and I'm very much anticipating on buying her other books because apparently the others are like really good too. And it's almost like a Chronicles in the way that the characters are all kind of in the same universe, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking as well, like, how did I get sucked into this like Alice Oseman community? It's something Alice Oseman does so well is fan service, and same with Cassandra Clare. But even I feel like Alice Oseman is someone that really listens to her fan base, and she really provides for them. Even finishing Heartstopper 4, there were all those like mini comic stories and different art styles about Nick and Charlie, and then those were submitted by fans, I think, on her Patreon. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, that is so cool. And then I love how she's managed to take this artistry and this kind of world that she's made, and then she's also managed to take it to the screen, which is something that very few authors can do.
Because she wrote the show herself, right? Like,
exactly. I was so surprised when I got to the end of episode 1 and it said written and created by Alice Oseman, and I was like, oh, they probably mean the books, but then it said based on the books by Alice Oseman. I was like, oh my gosh, she's a screenwriter too? Yes, get that check. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy. Like, mad respect for her.
I know. Is an artist, a screenwriter, an author, like a book writer. I'm obsessed.
What does she not do, you know?
Literally. I guess this is a good... Oh, you go.
I was going to say, to get us into talking about the show, because you've set us up for that.
I was just going to say, I was about to like really guess up my segue, because I'm usually not the segwayer. I'm like, well, yeah. I guess this segues nicely.
I was going to say, to talk about the show, which I'm pretty sure is why so many people are here, because everyone and their mom has watched this show. But my favorite is the TikToks I've seen. Sorry to get off track. My favorite is the TikToks I've seen is like watching Heartstopper with my parents to see if I can come out to them, and I'm just like, oh, very interested that this show that is being
audio where, oh yeah, I love gay people, what about you, do you guys like gay people?
Yeah exactly. That's what this is. Exactly. But Kit Connor, who, for those of you who haven't had Heartstopper over your entire For You page for days and weeks on end, plays our favorite, Nick Nelson. He just got TikTok, and it's, like, confirmed to be him. He posted on his Instagram and stuff and was like, it's me, everyone. And his TikToks, he's gotten so many followers. It's literally ridiculous. And like,
I was not expecting Kit Connor to be like the show kind of scene stealer of the thing.
Yeah, like everyone having a crush on Kit Connor was not on my 2022 bingo card. But
no, not at all. Even if you look at the Instagram followings of all the cast members, Kit Connor has like minimum 600,000 more than any other cast member.
Oh yeah, it's like it's insane. Like the amount of like hot edits, it's like hot Kit Connor edits I've seen. Oh my god. Yeah. And he's like starting to duet them now. And I'm just like, this is something I didn't know I needed in my sad little depressed life. But
you know what it's giving?
What?
It's giving Charlie Gillespie from Julian the Phantoms.
Exactly.
This is like exactly what Charlie Gillespie had. Like, he always had more, he still has way more followers than anyone else in that show's cast, like Instagram followings. And then he got TikTok and he became like a really prevalent person on TikTok and was always duetting hot edits and commenting on people's posts. And I low-key love it because it brings me a special kind of serotonin when horny like horny editors kind of just get put not in their place, but like maybe taken down a few pegs,
like called out a bit.
Called out, that's the word. Yeah, because obviously I don't want them to stop, like, because they're talented, you do you. But in saying that, it is always funny when you see these edits that, you know, these like teenagers made on CapCut and were only posted, and it's like their secret little account called like Andrew Garfield Step On Me 123, and like the cast member that they edited about finds it and it's like, well, this is interesting.
I know, it's always so hilarious to me when stuff like that happens. Like,
for sure.
So anyway, he's got TikTok and he got it like earlier today or something, or like last, I have no idea. But it's already accumulated like 600,000 followers. And like by the time like everyone is listening to this, it'll be like so much more than that. Cause like we're filming this like the day he got TikTok, but like 600,000 followers in one day.
Well, the show is insanely popular. I was seeing stuff on their Instagram. It's wild. Cause I kid you not, I have screenshots. Cause I knew the Heartstopper show was going to be big. But I have screenshots when I was following the account, the Heartstopper TV account on Instagram, when it had 60,000 followers, and now it's got like just hundreds upon hundreds of thousands. And I was looking at their Instagram on their story, and they were basically talking about how all the music in the show has just surged in popularity. And I'm talking like, you know the song Why Am I Like This, iconic,
yeah,
from the show, obviously, as we all do. Anyway, that went from like 500,000 streams overall on Spotify to now it almost has 10 million.
Oh my God.
Just because of the show. Like, that's a gay rise in analytics. When that spike in analytics, that's the gayest spike in analytics you've ever seen.
And I love it. Oh, for sure.
But it's crazy.
No. It's insane how popular the show's gotten. And, you know, I'm really happy because it obviously deserves like so much hype. And I think that like, there's been so many not mixed, because everyone agrees it's great, but so many people having such mixed emotions about when they watch this show, because a lot of, like, queer individuals who are now, like, in their 20s and everything, and, you know, watching this show are obviously, like, I've seen so many people saying that they're, like, I have such mixed feelings, because obviously I'm so happy for Nick and Charlie that they like get to be happy and, you know, get to live out that gay high school romance, but I also feel this intense like upset that like I will never have, like, I never got the high school experience because I was like in the closet and everyone around me was homophobic and like, or like I was bullied for being gay and stuff. And it's such like an interesting like contrast between like, because everyone's just in agreement that the show is fantastic, but everyone's like, it's making me literally hate them a little bit as well.
There's, and it's also just that, like, step further of people being like, especially young queer women, going, mm-hmm, I wish I was a gay man. Like, not just a man, but a gay man. And yeah. I'm like, oh, it's such an interesting reaction. I was not expecting the show to have this kind of reaction on audiences.
No, and I don't think that even when they made the show that they were expecting it, which is why I just find it so interesting. And like, it's definitely starting a lot of conversations that are much bigger than the show itself. And like, I, you know, I've watched and consumed a fair amount of gay media. If you've listened to this podcast at all this year, I'm like, okay, what have I been reading? It's gay. Like, that's pretty much shit. But I didn't really, because I didn't even really see that response from so many other forms of media. And I guess, like, I'm just going to briefly talk about, like, the Netflix show Young Royals, because if you've seen Heartstopper, you've probably seen it. So, like, it's fine. I'm not going to spoil it, obviously. But I just find it so interesting because, obviously, I watched that show when it came out. So did so many other people, because it's a piece of gay media, and obviously I watched it. But, like, that show, it consumed my For You page just as much as, you know, Heartstopper. That's not to say, like, I mean, I think Heartstopper is much more popular, but, like, even still, I saw a lot of people talking about Young Royals when it came out. Like, and you didn't really see stuff like that about that, right? I didn't really see a lot of people being like, oh, I wish that I was a gay man, or like, this is making me look back at my whole high school experience and making me hate myself, you know? Like,
defense, Young Royals is incredibly depressing compared to Heartstopper. Yes. I don't think anybody wants their life.
I know. I know that not everyone wants their life, but obviously it's very different. But I'm just kind of using that as an example, because obviously it's not like the exact same thing, but I feel like people are internalizing this show much, much more than they have with other forms of gay media, is what I'm trying to say. And I don't know, I think the reason for that is a bit like, most people can see themselves in at least one of these characters, right? Because like, it's like we were talking about earlier, it's like we have like Nick and Charlie, and Charlie is gay and like Nick is bisexual, so that's already like two different sexualities. And then we have Elle, who's a transgender character, and then we have Tara and Darcy, who are like, they're both lesbians, correct? Yes?
I don't know.
I think they are. I think I remember from the book that they're both lesbians, but I mean...
they're both lesbians.
I believe, but I just want to make sure. But, like, things like that. And then also, even we have, like, the token straight friend, of course, you know? And so, like, you know, I think that just, like, obviously that doesn't encompass even close to all the different identities that people experience, but it encompasses so much more than like other shows do, even other LGBTQ shows do. And so I think that so many people can kind of see themselves in at least one of these characters, right?
I mean,
also, and the experiences they went through.
Yeah, also the racial representation. I mean, I don't know, but like reading the comics just from volume 3 and 4, it's like Elle's Egyptian, or like got Egyptian in her blood, and then Tao is Asian, and then we have Tara, who is like, oh, I'm gonna be honest, I forgot about Tara and Darcy after reading volume 1 and 2. I don't know why. Internalized homophobia or something, trying to suppress some stuff. But yeah, I was low-key shocked when I watched the show, because I was like so excited, because I had realized I never had seen a black lesbian woman portrayed in media before, on screen. I don't think I ever have.
And so, yeah.
Yeah, there's also that. Also, like, Nick has a French dad and, like, can speak French fluently in the comics. Even that's kind of interesting, and you don't see that all the time. And Charlie has a Spanish heritage, which is really vibey. And so even on that level, I'm like, there is very little vanilla here, which is, and respect for sure.
Yeah. And I also think even just like in the show and in the comics, I guess, I noticed it more in the show than I did in the comics, but even just like different like body sizes as well was like really emphasized in that show. Not even just with like in the main cast or whatever, but like even I remember like at the some of the party scenes or whatever, where they're like at the party in like episode 3 and 4 or whatever, it's like you see like other people from the school and in the crowd, and like everyone's just like a variety of like different sizes, and which is like obviously a lot more accurate to real life, obviously. But like in movies and TV shows, it's like everyone has like the same body type, you know, like even the extras. And it's always so excessive. And so in this show, I was like quite interested to see. I remember that's when I first noticed it. I was like, that is so interesting that they did this. And it was never like, and if they ever really do have it, like in, like if they have like, you know, a plus size character or something, like, or basically any character who doesn't fit like the Hollywood, like,
exact hourglass skinny white.
It's like it's made into such a storyline. It's like their weight is the storyline, and it's like that is so excessive.
Is their entire storyline's them learning to love themselves despite their weight, because who could ever love you, how could ever love themselves if you're not a skinny hourglass figure? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but in this show it was just like there, you know,
exactly, because like, it doesn't matter in real life. Like, exactly. Well, obviously, like, it does, because otherwise, like, we wouldn't be talking about why it's a big deal that it, like, isn't brought up. But you know, to majority of people, if you're hanging around the right people, like, nobody cares that much as Hollywood kind of, like, makes it out to be. If you're hanging with the right crowd, obviously there are some people that are still douches. But, yeah, that's a good point. It felt like when I was watching the show and there were always big crowds, like, at the high school, at the parties, that the Heartstopper show literally went to the nearest high school and just, like, grabbed 200 kids and just, like, put them in. And it didn't feel manufactured at all, which I loved.
No, and I think that's why so many people were able to connect with at least some element of this show, because it all felt very real and real experiences.
Yeah, exactly. Even Darcy in the volumes that I read last night, mm-hmm. I was super intrigued. I wonder if she'll get, if Alice will get into it more in volume 5, but they kind of speculated or kind of started hinting towards Darcy having a really bad home life. And mm-hmm. even something as simple as that, where Darcy is seemingly, compared to the other characters, someone who doesn't bring a lot of, like, diversity and representation to the table besides being, like, a white lesbian, there's also that element as well. So nobody's ever really two-dimensional as well, which is something that often happens when side characters are these things that aren't, that, as we're talking about, the conventional Hollywood attractive, like, hourglass skinny figure. It's usually like, oh, if it's a side character and they're plus size, then that's all they are. They're the plus size friend. Oh, and they're a side character and they're a lesbian, they're the lesbian friend. It's like, no, you actually learn more about these people than just the things that make them unconventional to Hollywood standards. They're just, that's a part of them. And in the retrospective things, by the time you finish the show, you're learning enough about these characters that them being, like, lesbian or bisexual or plus-sized or whatever, it really is such a small thing in the scope of who they are as people, which is so important with queer representation in media, because it's such a good way of showing young kids and, like, even people that might not fully be an ally or whatever, it shows that they are real people and that they can be real people. And it's a real common view for homophobic people to take, where if somebody comes out as gay, that's all they are to them. It's like, you're gay. I don't need to know anything else about you. You're gay and you don't deserve rights. Whatever the correlation is there. However, I think if there's, like, parents even out there who maybe have a lot of internalized homophobia without realizing, and they're watching this show with their kids or something, which is happening, as we discussed earlier, because kids are wanting to suss out their parents, then it's really a great way for parents and kids to really come to a mutual understanding of, oh, okay, like, this isn't the end of the world being LGBT. Like, it really isn't. In hindsight, we're all just people at the end of the day, and it doesn't really matter. If you're a good person with a good heart, that's what matters more than anything.
Maybe I'll make my dad watch Heartstopper with me. I wonder what he'd think.
Your dad's not homophobic.
No, I know he's not homophobic. I'm just saying.
It was just like, after the context of what I just went on a whole rant about, like, are people getting their homophobic parents to watch with them so they could, like, get a mutual understanding? And you're like, my dad would be perfect for watching this show.
No, sure. I was just, like, thinking about it when you're, like, parents watching with their kids. And then I was just, like, wondering. I was like, I wonder what my
dad's going to think of this. Your dad's going to watch it and then come up to you and be like, so what happens, like, in the books? Like, when's the next season coming out?
What is the next season? It'll
be Shadow and Bone all over again. And you're like, you can just read the books, you know? And he'll go, no, why would I do that? I don't want to spoil it.
That won't take too long. Longer than waiting a year and a half for the next season to come out. Yeah. It'll take longer.
I'm really intrigued with your dad's reaction. Your mom would love this show.
I know. Maybe next weekend I'll, like, sit her down. I'll, like, sit her down next weekend.
You should.
And be like, Mom, no, family Heartstopper binging party this weekend. Someone put it on the calendar.
That's so cute.
So put it on the calendar!
What an ally. Whenever I think
Did you just call me an ally?
No, your mom.
Oh.
You're a really strong ally, Lily.
I'm a really strong ally.
You're in your really strong ally phase, are you? Oh, God. We've regressed.
So I've been told.
No, I was going to say something. It was going to be really smart and really cool. That's some good points. No. Insert something smart here. Can you react like I just said something really smart?
Wow. I would have thought that you were the one doing the STEM degree, honestly.
You know what I hated about that? That was kind of realistic. Like, I got a hit of serotonin for a bit there. I'm always seeking, like, Lily's academic validation, because no matter how many times Lily tells me, she can't convince me that she's, like, the smarter one out of us two academically. And so whenever she says that, I say something smart. I'm just like, oh my God, I must be smart. Okay. What was your favorite scene from... Oh, I remember what I was going to say. Sorry, real quick. Whenever somebody says, like, I'm an ally, I think of that clip of Imogen being like, I'm not, like, homophobic. I'm an ally.
I'm an ally.
I'm an ally. Oh,
thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you for your service. And whenever it's just, like, something about that clip screams the same energy as the Debbie Ryan smirk, and I can't explain it. I'm an ally. But yeah, what was your favorite part of the show was what I was going to ask next.
Oh, my favorite part of the show. Well, there's so many parts that I loved, obviously. So many.
Should we do like a top five or three or something?
Top three, because top five is too many things to think, and it's so late for me.
She says that, but she's going to have a top five by the end of this. I can guarantee.
Probably, but like, actually, I'm going to add two more. Okay, so I'm just going to like rattle them off as I go. This is not in order. I love the scene of them on the beach at the end, obviously. That was so cute.
Yes.
The snow scene where they're like making snow angels. That was so cute. Mm. Of course. Oh, I loved Nick's like coming out to his mom scene. That was like so perfect. Like everything about that, the way it just kept going back and forth between like them on the beach and being like, we're boyfriends and stuff like that, and then like him like yelling out on the beach, and then it would like go to him like talking to his mom, and it would keep going back and forth. It was just so cute. I loved it. Like I was really,
Nick was like, it's called bisexuality, I don't know if you've heard of it, and I just thought that was such a good writing, because I was like, oh, it goes to show how young and like wholesome this is.
I know
how young and wholesome.
And then like that was three, I guess.
Oh, you're stopping at three.
Okay well, I can do five now. I'm like on a roll, I guess.
Now she's got the ball rolling.
What else? I've lost my momentum now.
You didn't bring up the kiss scene, like the first one, first kiss scene.
I did like that one. I'm debating if I want to put it in my top five or not, though.
Okay.
I obviously really liked it. But I want to just see. I loved the Googling, like, the, like, am I gay scene? Like, the gay quizzes. Yeah. Like, I thought that was, like, such a good scene to put in. Like, I think that just really hit home for so many people. Mm-hmm. And that was great. And then I feel like I need to put something in from, like, some of the other characters as well. Mm. Like, I loved, like, the music room scene with Tara and Darcy, where they were like, oh my God, we're locked in the music room again. And the little talk that they had, I thought was adorable. So, top five.
Love that. Okay, my top five. Dun, 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 dun. So, beach scene, obviously. Most specifically, the I like Charlie Spring in a romantic way, not just a friend way.
I love that.
Awesome. I loved the scene of when they're hanging out like at Charlie's house for the first time, and they drum together, and Nick's like realizing.
That was so cute.
Yeah, because like Charlie's like helping Nick drum, and the way that Nick just looks at Charlie in that scene, chef's kiss. It's basically the definition, the Google stock image of gay panic, and I love it, live for it. I loved Tara and Darcy's. I loved the whole lesbians episode. I think that was my favorite episode. Not just because I feel like everyone really got their moment in that scene, and that was really when like the gang formed, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But most specifically, I loved the scene between Darcy and Nick. I love Darcy and Nick's little chemistry, their little relationship. And when Tara. And when Tara's like, "Thank you, boy, I kissed once," and Nick's like, "Thank you, girl, I kissed once." And that was cute. That's three, I think. Oh, coming out scene to the mum, obviously. And I'm also gonna say, now there's so much pressure because I'm gonna like keep thinking of them after and be like, oh, I should have said that one. Just whenever Nick and Charlie said hi, like they're just like, hi. So cute.
I love
had
that.
Had me kicking and giggling. It was so cute.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now I have a follow-up question. Because we can't be too biased. Was there anything you didn't like about the show?
Oh, good question. I didn't. I don't know what the goal is or what the intention behind making Tao's character less bearable than he was. Like, I love Tao in the comics, but in the show, I mean, obviously, I think it's probably, we're going to get into it, and something that was great about the show is you could get into the side characters more, and maybe, like, Tao's no different from the comics, it's just we're seeing more of him, but I felt like out of all the characters, Tao definitely had the biggest, like, negative difference, in my opinion. And I could see where he was coming from a lot, but just
overall, the way he went about it.
The way he went about it, I just felt overall he was less supportive in the show of, like, Nick and Charlie. And obviously, I got it because, and it was justified because Tao was just trying to be a good friend. And Nick was, honestly, from, like, Tao's perspective, not giving good vibes. Like, Nick wasn't. It was kind of, if you didn't know Nick, obviously, as viewers, we were like, no, Nick's different and he's better. But obviously, like, as a character, Tao didn't really know that. So you can't really blame him for wanting to protect his friend. But, I just think Tao, it could pay off really good. Maybe if they get a season two, it gives an opportunity for him to have, like, a really fleshed out character arc. But yeah, there were some times where I was like, oh my god, token straight friend, tone it down.
Yeah, for sure.
What about speaking you? Of
Tao's haircut,
got to go. If there's a season two, I demand a haircut scene.
Because that's not even what his hair looks like in real life, so that was a choice.
Yeah, the actor who plays Tao actually has really nice hair. So
I know. So it was really unnecessary, and I didn't appreciate it.
No.
Like, that was homophobia. I don't know how it was homophobia, but...
I think it was to add more to kind of the animated comic vibe. It kind of gave me the vibe of, like, when... You know how in kids shows, like in Lazy Town, obviously nobody wears their hair like that, but it adds to the world building, being like, oh, this is like animated a little bit. I felt like that's what the hair was trying to do, but it just was not working. And I think an iconic scene, an iconic like makeover scene in classic like television style where all the character does is like cut their hair or change the way their hair is and then everybody looks at them differently is necessary.
Yeah.
Like, so, I usually hate those scenes, but I will sign a petition to get one for Tao.
Yeah. So that was, obviously, that's kind of like a joke, a little bit, not really. But the main thing I didn't like about the show was Elle outing Nick and Charlie. And I know you and I were talking about this a bit the other day, and you're like, save it for the podcast. So here I am, saving it for the podcast. You're welcome, everyone. I really didn't like that scene I thought it was completely unnecessary, considering that's not even how it happened in the book, so why it was added into the show, I didn't appreciate. I think that, like, I understand, like, why Charlie didn't even tell him in the first place, because he wasn't exactly being that supportive of Nick, and it was definitely a thing, especially more in the books, really emphasized that he couldn't keep a secret. And Nick wasn't out to anyone yet, not his friends, not his family, and that's a really personal thing, and he really emphasized the fact that he wasn't ready to be out to everyone, and, you know, he kind of wanted to choose to come out to the people he wanted to come out to. And so that was a really big deal, and I just really found it unnecessary how Elle went and told him, even though they're all friends, and obviously it ended up working out fine, but just, like, no one addressed that. Like, he was just like, I can't believe, like, you didn't tell me you were dating Nick. First of all, it just proves the whole point. He's literally screaming in the middle of their school courtyard, and it's like, yeah, you idiot, no wonder they didn't tell you. And then two, it's like, then they were just kind of like, I'm so sorry, like, I'm gonna apologize now, without being like, Elle, why would you tell him that, you know?
Well, this is where, like, I'm thinking perhaps maybe it could end up being a good character arc, because in volume 3, for those who've read the volumes, like, it gets brought up that Tao is the reason that Charlie got outed, because he couldn't, it was the same situation, he couldn't really keep a secret that well. And I'm thinking, like, maybe it would leave some room, maybe this is set up nicely for that storyline, because I'm thinking it leaves a lot of room for Tao to grow as a character, because he'll get confronted about that, and then Tao will be able to realize, oh, maybe that's why they didn't tell me about Nick and Charlie. But I still agree that obviously it's never right,
like, to, like, why did anybody, like, why did Elle have to, like, Elle was such a good character, and, I was, and obviously she still has, I still really like her character, but it's just like, why, like, couldn't he have found out another way, like, overheard something, or, like, saw them when he wasn't, so, you know, like, something like that. Like, why did it have to be Elle outing them, you know?
No, for sure. But yeah, I agree. I don't have any argument. If I'm gonna be honest, when I finished the show, I did not even really consider that, and then when you told me, I was like, oh my god, yeah, good point.
I remember watching it when it was in the show, and I was kind of like, I don't really like that. But I was like, no, I'm probably just being, like, kind of over dramatic. But then, like, everyone, and, like, I started seeing it on TikTok, and people are like, that scene was so uncalled for. I was like, thank you, that scene was really uncalled for. Like,
in the volumes, Tao doesn't find out till volume 3, and it's actually quite a wholesome conversation between Charlie and, like, Tao.
And being, but, like, now we won't get that.
Yeah, and now we don't really get that, so don't really know. Perhaps we'll get, like, another wholesome conversation, but obviously it is unfortunate that that was the way that went about, like, that storyline happened in the show. Yeah, I think, no, I agree with you, that was a bit of a miss moment.
Yeah. But I think that's all we have time for in today's episode.
Yeah,
that went by fast.
Netflix, be prepared to catch these fists if you don't renew the show for season 2.
If you don't, you're homophobic.
Literally. And yeah, I'm just counting down the days for volume 5. Very excited for volume 5. Gonna be me so too. Sad though, because it's the last one.
I know.
And then I'll cry. Worst case scenario would be, like, Netflix cancels the show and then volume 5 comes out. I'm like, well, that's it. It was a good run.
That's so sad. Don't even say that. That's negative. Negative manifestations. Let's focus on the positive.
Oh, God. Sorry. It's the pessimism in me. I'm sorry. Yeah. This has been a lovely little chat. A return.
After a little return. Yeah. A one-week hiatus.
We're making such a big deal of this one-week hiatus, as if, like, we didn't take a month off a couple months back and just didn't say anything. We're just like, okay.
But now we're trying to be dedicated podcasters, so.
Okay. I'm not sorry. I had a stressful week. You guys can suck it up.
But Lily's sorry. Yeah, I'm not really that sorry. But, like, I'm just, yeah, whatever. Okay.
Okay. We'll talk to you next week, actually. Like, we'll talk to you next week.
For real.
Okay.
Okay.
For realsies. Bye.